Thank you, Sarah. And well done, Kat. Wasn't too much of this, was there? You did well. Kat mentioned the story that Jesus told about the lost sheep, and they're the verses we're going to be looking at this morning. So I'll read the verses on your short story, and then speak for a few minutes following that. So the story is found in Luke's Gospel, and chapter 15, and the first seven verses. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him, to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I'm sure we've all got stories of things that we've lost and found, or perhaps not found. So two Fridays ago, right, it was recycling day. I'd put the green bin out, I'd put the red box out, and I'd put two white bags out, as always, all neatly sorted in cardboard and plastic and green and food and that kind of stuff, all like that. I was in the kitchen and looking out the window. I wasn't in the kitchen looking out the window, I was in the kitchen. And looking out the window, the men came, the recycling men came. And I thought, oh, great, they drive off, I'll go and get the stuff and bring it back in. So I went out and I brought in one green bin, one red box, and one white bag. Not two white bags, one white bag. I ran to the corner, but they'd sped off down the road. I was frantic. I mean, one white bag. How am I going to cope in the future with all my recycling plans? My emotions were rising. I could feel myself getting worked up about this white bag. What was I going to do? One bag's not enough. I checked around the corner again, and they were coming back. So I flagged them down and explained that I'd left two bags out, but only one had returned. And the men smiled sweetly and said, "No, mate, it's not possible, mate, not possible. We'd never do that. We always take them and give them, empty them and give them back. So no, mate, no." I said, "But you have. No, sorry, mate, no. We'd never do that. I persuaded them that they had. And in the end, they said, "Well, go and check with your neighbours." So we went around the neighbours, who've all got numbers on theirs, because we didn't. And they were all, so it's a mystery. The bag is still missing, everyone. Still missing. But I went in and I realised, well, it was lost, so I'll get another one. So I went online, and you can order them online. Did you know this? You can order them online. And they're £2.50. I thought, oh, £2.50. It wasn't my fault it's lost. £2.50. £5 postage makes £7.50. At this point, I'm thinking, I'm not paying that. So I got on the phone and I rang the man up. And this smiling man, you could tell he was smiling at the other end of the phone, said, "Well, it just wouldn't happen. Our operatives don't do that. It hasn't happened. And anyway, I haven't got the authority to let you have one free. It will cost you £7.50. So I'm angry now. That might seem silly to you that a mature man like me gets so emotional and so upset and so angry, actually, about a lost bag. But here I am, standing in front of you. Here I am, folks. Well, I wasn't going to pay £7.50, so I got a big shopping bag out under the stairs and started using that. And I was telling my neighbour up the road, like way up the road, and he said, "Oh, Ian," he said, "we've got a spare one. Would you like ours?" And he gave me a spare one. And I carried that bag home, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Even though it wasn't our bag, you know. I was back to two bags. Ian Toobag. You can call me Ian Toobags if you want. I was asking Jan yesterday, my wife over there, whether she remembered ever losing anything. Did we ever lose a child? I said to her, because I can't remember. Do you know what I mean? And she said, yes, she said, don't you remember? We lost Chris, our middle son, on the French beach, a beach in France, when we went on holiday one year. Jan recounted this to me. We were with friends. One of them said he'd go down to the waterfront to see whether or not he was down there. Chris was down there. His wife stayed with all the other children. There was a few of them at that time. And Jan and I went sort of out, and in our best French, said, où est mon fils? Petit garçon? So I said to Jan, well, how did you feel, Jan? She said, well, I was anxious and a bit panicky, if I'm honest. What about me? Well, I suppose I was going through the motions of panicking, but to be honest, I can't remember it right. And I was probably thinking, well, we've still got three kids, another one. Another one doesn't matter, does it? What's all the fuss about? I wonder what's for lunch. Really? Course not, everyone. Somebody pointed us to the lifeguards, and they'd found him. Oh, somebody had taken him there. And we carried him back home to the tent on the beach, rejoicing. Two stories of things being lost and found. And Jesus tells this story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. He'll leave the 99 in open country and go after that lost sheep until he finds it. And when he finds it, he'll carry it home on his shoulders joyfully. And he'll call all his neighbours round to rejoice in finding this lost sheep. I just love the way that Jesus engages his hearers when he's storytelling. It was common, apparently, for sheep to be owned communally. So not just by the man who was looking after them, not just by the shepherd. He would have responsibility, therefore, to many people for all these sheep. And the sheep were a valuable commodity because, you know, food and wool and etc., etc. Well, that's it, isn't it? Food and wool and the oily stuff. I'm sure there's other things that sheep are good for. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I wasn't asking. I'm just saying. And the style of shepherding, of course, was different to now. There were no quad bikes and no sheepdogs. The shepherd would call his sheep. They'd know his voice, and they would follow him, and they would trust him to lead them to green pastures and to still waters. The shepherd, the man looking after these sheep, he knew these sheep. Each one was valuable. If he lost one, then the pressure was on. Other people having a go, you've lost one of our sheep. And this was a friend. The sheep was a friend, almost. So at the end of the day, he'd come back to wherever he'd been and put his sheep wherever he puts them. And he has to count them, doesn't he? Must be quite hard, mustn't it, to count those sheep at the end of the day? Because Danny sees where I'm going here. You've got to be falling asleep, aren't you, as you're counting sheep? I'll let you catch up just a little bit there, okay? And they keep moving, of course, as well, which doesn't help, does it? Anyway, 99, one missing. Leaves the 99 and goes to look for the lost sheep. I found a picture by a fellow called Alfred Usher Sword. And that sheep's proper lost, isn't it? And the vultures are ready to swoop upon it. And able to get to safety on its own. And the shepherd's prepared to risk his life to recover that sheep. I'm not sure how big it is for you down there, but he's precariously balanced, sort of hanging on to the rock, straining every sinew to reach down and to grab that sheep that's looking up at him, isn't it? Come on, please, save me. And you can only imagine, can't you, the rejoicing that there would be when he carries that sheep home and calls the community together and parties. It's a lovely story. All the hearers would engage because everybody's lost something. You're probably sitting there now thinking, oh, I remember that time I lost my parents, or I lost those keys, or I lost my car in the car park. Do you know, I didn't know where it parked, or those sort of things. Everybody's got a story. We'd all be knowing the angst felt by this shepherd. And then we'd all know the joy, wouldn't we, when we'd found that thing. But why is he telling this story? And indeed, why does he tell the next two stories in this chapter? Parable of the lost coin, and the widow's lost one of her 10 coins, and she sweeps the house till she finds it. And the parable of the lost son, the son who leaves home and then realizes that he needs to come back, and the father waits for him and welcomes him home. Why is Jesus telling these stories? Well, the clue's in the first and last verses of the passage. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. In the previous verses, Jesus has been talking about what it is, what it takes to be a follower of him, a follower of Christ. The cost of being a good disciple. And he ends that chapter by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this chapter opens, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. Tax collectors. They were bad sinners. Siding with the Roman invaders, they were despised by the locals. Lining their own pockets with the people's money, they were despised by everyone. So tax collectors were gathering and sinners were gathering. These were just ordinary sinners. People who didn't take too much notice of the law. The law being the hundreds of regulations that the teachers of the law imposed on the people about washing your hands, about who you could mix with, about who you could eat with and how you had to eat with them. All sorts of different things intended to make you holy so that you could impress God. But in fact, these were people who I guess had just given up on that. They couldn't do it and probably didn't think about God at all. These are the people who were coming to Jesus to hear what he has to say. Maybe they knew. Maybe they knew that deep within they were sinners. And they found in Jesus something different. Someone worth listening to. Who made thinking about God exciting. Verse 2 says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. I just love that word, muttered. Doesn't it? Sort of conjures up, doesn't it? He welcomes sinners and eats with them. You can hear, can't you, the disdain in their voice. He calls himself a holy man, and yet he eats with sinners. That's breaking that law. And welcomes them, that's breaking that law. So to all of these people, Jesus tells this story. Sheep's lost, sheep's found, rejoicing. The last verse says, I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So you see, the story, a parable, a story with a deeper meaning, is a message to the tax collectors and the sinners. You're like lost sheep, and God's a shepherd, and he does all he can to find you and to bring you home back into his fold, rejoicing. So repent, and there'll be rejoicing in heaven. And it's a message to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. That God's aim, he says to them, God's aim is to seek and save the lost. That's why, said Jesus, I'm mixing with these people, to bring them back to God. So get with the program. Which just leaves one question, really. Where are you in this story? We've heard Kat's story of coming to faith and coming to this point of baptism. And Kat has come to see, in conversations we've had over these last few weeks, where she was in this story. And she said so, didn't she? We sang a song about it as well, that she was. She was a sinner, just an ordinary sinner. Living her life as a wife, as a mum. 7 children. Whoa. She works. Aware of God, but somehow far from him and lost. And circumstances in her life were such that she came into church. You know, I want to say, I think that God brought her into this place. The Good Shepherd led her here. The Good Shepherd had been seeking her. The Good Shepherd who, in fact, as we know from the rest of the Bible, laid down his life for his sheep. You see, Jesus' death on a cross, that an act of self-sacrifice, standing in the place of sinners, taking the blame for their sins, taking the punishment that they deserved, leads to forgiveness. And life as a saved sheep. So Kat has come to this point of recognizing her need to repent, say sorry to God for all the stuff that's past, and to invite him to come and live in her life. She was lost, she's now found. Got a new name, Kat, by the way. No longer Kat, sheep. How's that? I like that. Oh, that's good. And you know what? So much rejoicing in heaven over one who's come to join the flock. And rejoicing in church. So much rejoicing in church, by the way. There's hot dogs afterwards. And you're all welcome to stay for those. But it still leaves this question. Where are you? The Bible says, and the story says, four things. Firstly, that we're all sinners. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. I can't deny that. I'm a sinner. Do you know the stuff I think, stuff I say from time to time, stuff I do from time to time that I know doesn't please God? Because he's holy God. His holiness is the standard, isn't it, to get into heaven. That's how good we've got to be. And none of us can be that good. We all do things that are wrong. We all fall short of his holiness, of his glory. And you know, it doesn't matter whether it's, what end of the scale it is, whether it's a little white lie down here somewhere, or it's a double murder up here somewhere. All of us are sinners and fall short of that pass mark, the holiness of God, his perfection, his glory. We're all sinners. So therefore, we're all lost. We're all that sheep. With the vultures circling and not able to save ourselves. But there's good news. Because we're all loved. God loves you, everyone. Let me hear you say yeah. Yeah. Let me hear you say yeah convincingly. Yeah. God loves you so much that he sent his only son. And Jesus, as a shepherd, later in this gospel, said this, that he'd come to seek and save the lost. That was the purpose why he came to this earth. To seek and save the lost. And such was his love for everyone, every sheep, everywhere, that he died on that cross that our sins might be forgiven. He took the blame for our sins. Famous Bible verse, famous to some of us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what we need to do, to believe and receive. Believe that Jesus died to save you and receive forgiveness of sin. It's all changed. Forgiveness of sin, a clean state, a new start, to be born again. Jesus comes to live within us by his Spirit. It's what's happened to Kat. It's what we're going to celebrate in these waters in just a moment. And Kat, you know, I can't tell you how much joy there is in here to see this happen today. And I'm sure I speak for everyone in the church as well. It's such a joyful occasion when we come to baptise somebody. But what's true for Kat can be true for everyone today. Do you know, lost sheep everywhere. You can be lost because you've never heard of God, never thought of God, never given it a moment's thought about church and all that kind of stuff. You can be lost because you have thought about God and you have been part of church, but you've wandered away. You can be lost because you're stuck in some sort of rutty, addictive lifestyle now, whatever that might be. But you know, the shepherd is on the lookout for you to seek and to save that which is lost and to bring you back into his fold. What's true for Kat is true for anyone. I think I'll finish with that. So I'll just pray. We'll get the children back in. We're going to sing a song. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story that Jesus told. We thank you, Lord, for its meaning. Lord, for people of the day, but also for us 2,000 years later, 2,000 miles away, yet still true, because we as human beings, Lord, are the same the world over. We thank you, Lord, that there is good news in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost. Thank you, Lord, that you found so many of us. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to seek and find others. May that be true, Lord, for many of us today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just while the children are coming back in and those that need to prepare for